The second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 through 21, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God."
Thank you, Don. I'm going to be spending almost every week between now and Palm Sunday talking about parables. Someone else is going to be talking about parables too here during the Lenten season. We have been blessed in our church, as I said just a little while ago, a few weeks ago. We've had two different people in the church here that have put together devotional books. Rose LaPointe is one who has put one together, and I know we as a board have enjoyed the devotions you put together for us. Mike Canales is putting one together during Lent, and he's taking a whole bunch of the parables of Jesus and using them to help us to keep our focus on the things we ought to keep our focus on. And so we are going to have those given out to us during the Lenten season, so all of us together can do that. And while you're reading a lot of those devotionals, some of those may be pulled out as sermons that I will be giving from now and until then. These parables, Jesus taught them to teach us something, and wanted to do that with one of these this morning. You know, we live and are blessed to be in the country we live in, aren't we? We don't understand. Very, very, very few in our country understand what real poverty can be. Yes, we have many who are in poverty that barely make it. We have that safety net in our country that is used to help people who just can't help themselves. And if we can point people in the right direction, almost anyone can have access to some kind of help, at least for the bare necessities. But there's some places in the world where that's not there. And people are destitute and starving and all those kinds of things. We truly live in a land of plenty. Living in a land of plenty, I'm also very much convinced that we live in a land where people may want to come and be and experience the American dream. But because of the way we have taken God out of so many things, this land of plenty doesn't satisfy, because there's oftentimes something that's missing in many people's lives. I remember when I was at Christian University down in Indiana, Taylor University, where I finished my undergraduate work. A former university professor was sharing with us at one of the chapel services about how he was trying to point students in the direction at that school of having a successful career in some particular avenue of work, and found himself stressing, these are good paying jobs. And he wanted to apologize to the campus for steering people in the wrong direction. Because he said that's not where happiness is going to be found, in a higher paying job. Happiness is not going to be found in making a six-figure income. Happiness is not going to be found in those kinds of things, but happiness will only be found ultimately in Jesus Christ. And however you want to serve, whatever kind of a job you have, no matter how menial you think it may be, God can give you joy and satisfaction in whatever it is that you do. And that stuck with me. I thought, you know, I want to look and see in Webster's dictionary what success is defined as. And there are two different definitions of success. And one is the one we typically go to in the land of plenty, and that is attaining wealth, fame, or prosperity. But there's a second definition of success, and this is the one I believe is the one that God wants us to use. And it's this: achieving of something intended or desired. Now, it's kind of open-ended, isn't it? But to me, success in Christ is doing His bidding. That's exactly what success is, in light of that. And also, when I look at success, I'm not always so concerned about my success. Sometimes the success is someone else's. You see, we should be wired differently as Christians than the world is wired. And that's why I wanted to go to this particular parable this morning and take a look at it, because this parable talks about something that we, I'm sure, to varying degrees in our life have struggled with, and that is greed. I believe greed is one of humanity's most damaging sins. I mean, I know God doesn't sit there and say, well, this is first grade sin, and this is second and third and that sort of thing. Sin is sin. But greed, to me, is a sin that can be so damaging. And greed is not what you sometimes think it is. It's not narrowly defined as someone who wants more stuff. You see, greed, it's addictive. And greed's only concern is itself, is it not? Think about it. When I'm greedy, all I'm concerned about is whatever it is I'm looking for that's going to satisfy my need, right? That's what greed is by its very nature. Greed breaks up marriages, not because of the financial, but the self. It isn't the financial that breaks up marriages. Sometimes it's greed. And what's greed concerned about? Greed's concerned about me. What a difference this world would be if greed was absent from marriages. Then I would be concerned about the other, not about myself. You see, greed isn't always financial. It's not always material. Greed always is about me. Greed has bred a horrendous view of the life of another at the expense of our own. I am horrified and I am angry at what I see in that law in New York. I am angry. It's because of greed. I'm more concerned about me than another. Greed has bred this horrendous view of the life of another at the expense of another. I should say my life at the expense of another. Greed views all things as mine, not God's. You see, in this parable this morning, this gentleman sees that he's been very affluent and things have gone very well, and what's he want to do with all that he has? Just build more barns so I can store more stuff. Nothing in there about if God has blessed, how can it be used for others? Greed. Views all things as mine, none of it as God's. Greed blocks the ability for us to be benevolent, to be giving, to care about another, because greed gets in the way. And I think that's pervasive in America today. It's all about getting to that next level. Greed assumes responsibility of taking care of self with little reliance on God. You see what happens with greed? We lose that God-given necessity of giving it over to God and asking God to help. That's why I think sometimes it is good and it's healthy for us in our life to have stuff taken away so that we'll trust Him more. So many times in the land of plenty, in the land of influence, we don't need to trust God because I'm taken care of. It's good sometimes to not have so that we can trust again. And remember, He's the one that provides. Greed views everyone else as less and me as more. Doesn't it? Greed views everyone else as less and me as more. You see the ugliness of greed here? You see how greed affects not just the fact that I want to hoard what I have and not give it to anyone else, but greed affects every area, every arena of our life. Greed doesn't have self-sacrifice in its vocabulary. Yet that's the embodiment of Jesus, isn't it? Greed doesn't know anything about self-sacrifice. Because self-sacrifice means I've got to use up some of me for someone else. Greed doesn't do that. Greed thinks about me. Greed always wants and rarely gives. You know, our country was founded upon Christian principles, Judeo-Christian principles, and through the years our country has been very benevolent. Why? I think because we are founded on those kinds of principles. Still, even to this day, and I'm a proud American. I love my country, and I still think, although I wonder if we're living on the fumes of the past, but I still think this country is so benevolent. Why is it we give so much money to so many other countries that are poor to try to help them out with whatever it is that they need help with, and usually with nothing in return? It's because I believe we were started on Judeo-Christian principles. And it wasn't about us. It was also about others. Greed gets to the point where all it really thinks about is self. Even if it's masked in a way that seems to think about others, greed thinks about self. I think about politics sometimes and how sometimes things are done or said and you think it's a self-sacrificial kind of thing, but oftentimes it's done with the purpose of serving self in the end. Greed leaves our heavenly treasure bankrupt because we're hoarding all the stuff that's temporary, temporal. And it leaves our heavenly treasure bankrupt. Is that not what is being said in that parable this morning? But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and you will get what you have prepared for yourself." This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Greed doesn't allow us to forgive because we have been wrong. It doesn't allow us to forgive. That's what greed does. As I look at this parable, I see how far greed can take us. And our life does not need greed. It needs the abundance of Jesus Christ. I ask God to forgive us, to forgive me when I step in the way of God's work. When I'm greedy, when I'm thinking about me, when I should be thinking about others. God, forgive us. Free us. Help us to see the abundance we actually have and the privilege and the opportunity to share it with others. May we be, as Romans 12:1 says, living sacrifices, so we can know what real satisfaction is all about. It's not about greed. It's about being a living sacrifice, because there's one who became a literal sacrifice for you and for me. In the end, greed gets nothing. And the love of Jesus gets everything. Let me say that again. In the end, greed gets nothing. And the love of Jesus gets everything. My guess is, as I close, you struggle with greed sometimes. Not just of your stuff, but just you. Ask God to forgive you so that you and I can be freed for joyful and obedient service for Him. Because the land of plenty will not satisfy. Only the one who is the Lord, God of the universe, Jesus Christ, can really satisfy. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for being the ultimate example. Thank you for being the sacrifice. Thank you for filling the gap. God, help us to be grateful, not greedy. Help us who have abundance to share it with others. Help us to realize that our greed affects our relationships with other people, because I want what I want and I don't think about the other. Whether it's spouses or neighbors, friends or enemies, God, take greed away and replace it with unselfish love. Agape love. And we do give you thanks. And we do give you praise. And God, you will remind us this morning through this sacrament of Holy Communion just how much you love us. And as we are reminded of that, it takes greed out of the picture. So thank you. In Jesus' wondrous name, we pray. Amen.